What's up, Subaniacs? Hope everyone had a great and fantastic Labor Day weekend. And thank you for joining me again on another episode of the Ugly Duck Podcast. Because of the holiday, we're going to keep things tight today and short and stick to hockey for this special edition of the Ugly Duck Podcast. That's right. It's all about the Stanley Cup playoffs. Can't wait to share my predictions with you. So stay right there. My producer, Mo Darwich, is with me. Let's talk hockey because I can't wait to get into it.
Well, there's a lot to get into, and we're going to cover the conference semifinals and some of your picks that you had. Look, we'll get into it. You went 3 out of 4. If people stuck with PK, they would have made some money here, but we're going to get into that.
And I would have went 4 out of 4 if I didn't play nice. You know, Zdeno Chara and the Boston Bruins, I wanted to see him move on, but Tampa's too much for everybody.
They're
right
hot.
Now.
All right. As we're already taping this, right? Mm-hmm. It's Tuesday. As we're taping this, all right, the Stars and the Golden Knights, as well as the Islander and the Lightning, have
big
already had
game tonight.
Have had their game won. Tonight we have the big game of the Stars and the Golden Knight going back at it again. So if we're a little behind, forgive us, audience. But before we get into these conference finals, we want to touch base on the NHL and the awards that they've been announcing here in this last week, right? So look, the first award they gave out was the King Clancy Memorial Trophy, you know, which is given to a player who best exemplifies leadership qualities on and off the ice and has made a significant humanitarian contribution to his community. Obviously, you were a finalist for this, which was tremendous. Henrik Lundqvist was a finalist for this as well.
King.
And it looks like the winner is Matt Dumba.
Matt Dumba, yeah.
So, obviously, I want to touch base first on how it felt to be a finalist.
Yes.
What you have done on and off the ice, and then let's touch base on Matt as well and his accomplishments.
Well, first of all, you know, I'm going to take a page out of Bobby Ryan's book, and I saw Bobby Ryan after he did his interview, after winning the Bill Masterton, and congratulate the other nominees. First of all, you know, and the winner, Matt Dumba, congratulations on winning it. Very well deserved. He's done a lot of work. Henrik Lundqvist as well, who's done a ton of work, and he's been doing it for so long in the league. I know a lot of people were pulling for him to get the award, but he's had a tremendous career. You know, first and foremost, I want to say that the King Clancy is such a special award. It's a different award, though. And I think I can speak for all 31 teams and every player that was selected by their team to represent being honored as a King Clancy leader in regards to being up for the award. And in saying this, you know, the honor in what we do, you know, when you give back and you have your own foundation or you choose to stand for something that's bigger than yourself, the honor is in the difference that you make, right? It's the honor is in the difference that you make of the kids, the families, the people that you're helping. That's where the honor is, right? And I'm sure all 31 guys will tell you that you don't need an award as validation for what you do. And I can tell you that from my personal experiences, the validation comes from the kids, the families, the people that you can help, and you know, from your family as well. Like, you know, that's what's important. And for a guy like Matt Dumba, he's done a ton of work, especially over the past couple of weeks. And with Minnesota and everything that's gone on there, it's a bright, bright light for the city of Minnesota and for the Minnesota Wild. So kudos to him. But this award is so much bigger than just something that goes on your mantle. It expands much, much more, you know, further than that. And the Bill Masterton.
Yep.
Bobby Ryan. Wow. What a season. You know, and all three guys, very, you know, awarding, you know, very deserving of it. You know, I know that, Johns, who battled depression, who came back, it's unbelievable. And I know that, you know, other athletes like Kevin Love, even Lindsey Vonn have spoken about depression and it's a real thing. So, you know, he had a lot of things that he was facing throughout a season. And then you look at Bobby Ryan and the year that he had coming back in the game with the hat trick. I thought it was really, really special. And a player like Oscar Lindbaum going through cancer the way he did, all three of those guys were so deserving of it. And Bobby Ryan, I thought he handled himself extremely well, congratulating the other people. And it's great to see. I think it was just it's been a real bright spot for the NHL.
Bobby Ryan spent 2 months in the NHL, NHLPA Players Assistance Program. It's spoken up about dealing with alcohol abuse. You know, it's so interesting. We just had Sean Avery on the last podcast, right? And he, the one thing he said when it came to trash talk, he said everything was on the table except alcohol abuse.
Yeah, like, I mean, but there's a couple things, you know. I mean, I think it's pretty clear, and that's the way the NHL is. Like, I've been on the ice before, and guys have crossed the line, but it doesn't happen often.
But let me
it
ask doesn't you
happen.
About that.
It doesn't happen.
Is alcohol, because this is the second time I've obviously heard yeah. about this in a week, and is alcohol abuse something that players fight through at all? Is it a problem in the NHL, or is it just young guys that like to have fun and it just
anybody that says it's a problem? It's listen, alcoholism, it's in the world. I mean,
right? No, you're 100% right.
It has, you know. To me, I don't even join it with hockey. I think that the NHL is one of the top four major sports
yeah.
on the planet, and you're on a platform. So there's it's everything's magnified, right? You're under a microscope. And I think the NHL has done a great job in designing these programs to protect its players, but not only protect the league and protect the players, to help the players. That's the important thing, is understanding. I think it's way more accepted now, and guys should feel more comfortable now talking to somebody, getting involved in the program. I know a few players who've had to go through the program who've come back and they're great,
yeah.
you know, and have battled through it. So I think that's something to consider with the NHL. I don't think that any of these issues are NHL issues. These are just life issues. And I think the NHL's done a great job in supporting the players so far. And, you know, like I said, I've never been in a program or anything like that, so I can't speak from my own experiences. But it seems like a lot of players are feeling more comfortable talking about it, and from their experiences and from their own teammates' experiences.
Have you ever been on a team where there was a player perhaps that you may have seen struggling, and other players came together to kind of have a intervention and kind of talk?
Yeah, but you know, here's the thing. It's not so much about, you know, you got to take yourself out of the equation. You got to take yourself out of it, right? You know, I know Austin Watson, who I played with in Nashville, who's been very outspoken about it coming out of it, who's a phenomenal person. You know, I played cards with him at the table. I see, and he's not the only person, but I think he's handled his situation so well, and you know, I know him as a person, and I'm happy to be able to say that I played with that guy. And I feel like I just try to make myself as a teammate available to players, like, so that I talk about it all the time. Like, you know, everybody's battling something, and it may not even be something that's specifically up with you. It might be something that's up with your spouse or your girlfriend or your mom or your dad or your grandparents. Like, you know, this is life, right? We're still people. So it's just important. And I think that now, you know, maybe years and years ago, a lot of those things were never spoken about. Like, they were never talked about. You didn't even know they were happening. And now it's clear that these things are happening. And I'm just happy to see that the league has continued to support its players and help its players wherever they need it.
Yeah. Congrats to all these players. All of them are really just great examples across the board on many different fronts. Yep. Moving on into some of this hockey action,
mm-hmm.
these Western Conference Finals here. But before we get into the Western Conference Finals,
you know what?
The Eastern Conference Finals.
Listen to me. I'm 3-for-4 on the picks. Listen to me. You guys stop talking trash on that Instagram and start listening to my picks. I know what I'm talking about.
If you want to make some money, you should have listened to PK in the last round. 3 out of 4. Not bad, my friend. Obviously, you went with Boston, which was, we'll call it the emotional.
Listen, it cost me. It cost me in the round robin, me picking teams that I had friends on and all that stuff. The French stuff is over. We're picking the right teams. Let's go.
All right, both Dallas and Vegas advance after a 7-game series with Vancouver.
I told you this. Dallas was a problem.
Yeah.
I told you Vegas was a problem.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this right now. The Vancouver Canucks are the real deal. Very, very good hockey team, and a team that everybody should be looking out for in the next year or two. They played extremely well. Extremely well. They were fun to watch. They played with energy. I thought that the moment never got too big for them. I just think that they got beat by a team that had a little bit more experience, and that's tough. But you can walk away from that series with your head up. But I can tell you this right now. This Dallas-Vegas series, hand-to-hand combat all series long, fun to watch.
Yep.
Listen to me.
Let's talk about how Dallas got there, right? They edged out Colorado in a game seven overtime. It was like the one exciting overtime we've been waiting for in this playoff that went to a game seven where you felt like you had two teams that could take it all.
There were a handful of times in this series where I had to turn my TV off and walk away after Nathan MacKinnon had a shift. There were some shifts where I just said, you know what? I can't even watch it. No, it's unbelievable. Shout out to Nathan MacKinnon and his ability to elevate his game. As the series has gone on, as the playoffs have gone on, he's gotten better and better and better. And I still don't think we've seen the best of him.
Yeah.
I mean, man, they ran into some injury trouble, though, man. That's always tough. And, you know, I can speak to that a little bit. You know, the year that we went to the Stanley Cup final, we had run into some injury problems. And sometimes that's the difference. Like, let's be honest. If Colorado's got their full roster, are they sitting at home right now?
Probably not.
The players that they were missing, if they got that team, and listen to me. No, I told you Dallas.
That's part of it, right? That's part of
that's what it takes to win the whole way. That's what it is.
And Golden State's probably saying, if only Kevin Durant was healthy, we would have won another one, well, right? You could play that game all.
Those are the bounces that you need, but yeah. Colorado had played so well, and this looked like it could have been their year. It's just, you know that when you get close to it, when you get to that semifinal, conference final round, those are the bounces that you need. That's where your depth is the most important, and their depth was put into question. Obviously, he lost a couple of guys that he needed, but make no doubt about it, the Colorado Avalanche are going to be in contention for a cup for years to come. They're the real deal.
Now, you talked about the depth of Dallas. Kiviranta, a rookie, hasn't even played 10 games. He played 10 games, I think.
Nasty game.
Shows up in a pivotal game seven for a franchise and scores a hat trick.
Listen to me. I was getting a massage in Park City when that game was going on.
Yeah.
Lindsay was taking a nap. She thought she was getting a nap in. I was screaming every single time. Well, no, because it gets tied up. There's 3 minutes left. They score to go ahead. They tie it up. It was, what a fun game. That was one of the best hockey games that I ever watched. And Dallas, man, they got young talent stepping
young
in.
Young talent.
Producing.
Confident,
I mean,
young talent.
Listen, it's, I don't know who to pick in this series, but I can tell you this right now. Vegas has got to bring their work boots and their hard hats, because I look at Dallas. Dallas is going to make this. Their forwards, when they get forechecking, they're going to make it tough. They're going to play physical. And I think that that's Vegas's game. Like, they like that hard forechecking game, fast paced, physical, cycle down low. I just think that those guys got to be on their game. There's no room for error. Dallas's D is too good. They're up in the attack. Their power play is too good. This has got to be a disciplined series. And you'd expect it to be low scoring. The way they're playing, it looks like it's going to be low scoring, but you never know. Both teams have the offensive ability, right? It's just that Shea Theodore, he's going to have to play big minutes. It's going to be an interesting series to watch, but it's a tough pick.
Look, Vegas has been shut out two times in three games. If we go back to their last series with Vancouver, you feel like they might be stumbling a bit in terms of their offense, or are they just, this is playoff hockey, you run into desperate teams, defense has an advantage at times, and they're just fighting through it as best they can?
Listen, I think that you look at Dallas. Dallas picked up Corey Perry, Pavelski, who's been a great addition. He's Heiskanen and Klingberg on the back end. Klingberg's been in the league for a while, but that Heiskanen's sort of coming into his own now. I think he's leading their defense in minutes played, maybe even their team. I think that Dallas has that extra jump right now. They've added a couple players. They got young guys who have come in who have had big impact. So I just look at Dallas up and down their lineup. They look like they have a little bit more energy. Vegas has to take that energy to another level. And I think we know they got the level. They have it. They got to take it there. I think seeing Leonard and Nett, they're going to need supreme goaltending. You can't even let in a goal in this series. Like, you have to play to win 1-0. That's the way this series is going to be. If I picked before the series, I would have said probably Vegas. I think Vegas's team is very, very good.
They get Reeves back in game two after a one-game suspension.
And
does he provide a spot?
Yes, I think that is a big addition to the team because of the fact that you look at Dallas's top skill players, Radulov, Jamie Benn. Let's just talk about those two. Hintz is a big kid. He ain't small. Pavelski plays with a little chip on his shoulder, right? All their guys, Como, all their guys, especially their top two guys, Radulov and Benn, are big physical guys. You see Radulov in front of the net, right? Scoring against Colorado, parked in front of the net, scoring dirty goals. Those guys can score dirty goals, yeah. Right? So Riley Smith, Marchessault, they got to get their nose dirty as well. That's Dallas's game, though. They can play that game. So if Dallas is playing their game, they're chipping pucks, they're getting into the forecheck, they're getting pucks back to their D, getting shots in front. That's Dallas's game. Retrieve pucks, back to the D, shoot the puck, tip, rebound, skill play, back of the net. No goal, retrieve, back to the point, hit the guy in the slot, shot, retrieve. That's their game. Vegas plays very similar to that. But it's demoralizing when a team rolls on you like that. I think this is going to be a close series. I don't think you can go wrong with any pick.
Who has the better goaltending? Khudobin, you think, or Lehner?
I think both teams got good goaltending. Right. I think both teams have seen good goaltending right now. I think that Vegas might have a little bit of an edge.
Well, because they got Fleury as well.
They got Fleury backing up. I don't think that, you know, Dallas has got a Bishop. I don't know. Is he injured? Is Bishop injured?
I don't know.
I'm not 100% sure, but I know that they have Bishop in there. Khudobin's been playing well, and they've been playing well in front of him. So I think Vegas has a little bit of an edge in net with the experience of Marc-Andre Fleury, who can come in at any time. But listen, Dallas is such a good offensive team. Listen, you're getting screens in front. You're getting tons of screens in front. I think goaltending's going to be huge, but Dallas always seems to make it tough on every team. Every goaltender, they get in front of the net, they crash, they bang, they rebound. Like, think about it. Every shift, you're getting a Corey Perry, a Como, a Jamie Benn, a Radulov, a Hintz, a Pavelski. You're getting one of those guys in front of you battling who got the skill to finish. It's a tough team to match up against.
So Vegas still has the Knights as the favorite in this series. PK, writing it down, who do you got?
Oh...
Got to put your money where the mouth is, right here.
Dallas.
Wow. You heard it here.
Sorry. I'm going with Dallas.
Sorry, Vegas.
I'm going with Dallas.
You're losing money on this one.
Well, listen, I went with Vegas last round, so
yeah.
I'm going with Dallas. I think that with their young talent coming in like that, I think that could be the X factor. If those guys produce the way they've been producing.
Isn't that crazy? Like, how great feel when you have a young kid you've never heard of before come in and drop a hat trick?
Okay, but hold on. What did St. Louis do? St. Louis had a whole third line come in that helped them win the cup. That's right. What you need. You need right. Young players. When you got top-end skill like that, you have players that come in and fill out your third and fourth line that could be playing on other teams' top two lines or second line or other teams' third line on your fourth line. Look at Tampa. We're going to get into that now.
Yeah, let's get into that, right? Look, Tampa comes out huge game one, right? The Islanders is obviously our Cinderella story here. You've been beating the drum on them for a while now since these playoffs started as a team that we have to watch out for. They came off of a seven-game series, had no rest. Tampa had rest going into game one. They obviously kind of blew the door off the roof. Or blew the door out of the house, or I don't know, whatever you say in those.
Well, they listen to me. They were
scoring
moving.
Eight goals.
Put it this way:
they
were
game.
Moving. But I will say this: everybody, and I'm sure everybody's talking about it. But 4 days off in this format, in this season, is huge. You know, it's huge. The
fresh
rest
legs.
Is huge, right? And that showed. You could see that. But I can tell you this right now. Whether you're rested or not, I think Braden Point's still turning whoever's on defense inside out with that little stutter step. You know, Kucherov, rested or not rested, his skill is what it is. So these guys are playing that way. And then Hedman, you got to give credit where credit's due. This guy's been, he's been unbelievable. For a big man, his size, lanky stick, quick feet down low, quick to defend, quick to retrieve pucks. He's shooting the puck. This is the hardest I've seen him shoot the puck. I haven't seen him shoot the puck like this in his career. He's shooting it hard. His shot's a threat. His vision's a threat. We saw Braden Point. Braden Point easily is in the top five players in the league right now. You got Braden Point, who could be the top five, top three, best all-around players in the league right now, the way he's playing. Kucherov's skill, good luck. Tell me, who do you got? Maybe Patrick Kane? Like, okay, but he's in the top three skill guys in the league. You got Hedman on the back end, top three defensemen in the league right now. You got Vasilevsky. That save that he made when he snapped the leg out was insane. And then you got Shattenkirk. You got Pat Maroon that they picked up. You got Yanni Gourde. Their whole team.
Are they deeper than Dallas?
Oh, no. There's no question. Tampa. Dude, Stamkos isn't even in the lineup.
Crazy.
Stamkos ain't in the lineup. He's not playing right now. So, listen, Tampa's team, top to bottom right now. And then I haven't even mentioned Alex Killorn, who's a 20 to 30 goal scorer a year. They got, I mean, I can go up and down their lineup.
Kucherov.
Ryan McDonough on the back end.
Here's the stat on Kucherov, right? He now leads the NHL in playoff scoring since 2015, surpassing Crosby Ovechkin with 81 points, 48 assists, 33 goals, playing big-time hockey here. So, look, we went through it, right? We went through all the players that the Lightning
have. I turned
have.
My TV off at 4. Listen to me. When Kucherov came through the neutral zone and was flipping pancakes with his blade in the friggin' neutral zone, moving pucks around. Like, no. It's just, you're not, players aren't supposed to be doing that in the Eastern Conference Final. I don't think people understand that. Like, the nastiness that's been going on, I can tell you that they're
but
a fun team to watch.
Pesky Islanders
yes.
that you have been talking about, right?
Yep.
The ones that you called to beat the Capitals when all the pundits laughed at you. The one that you called to beat the Flyers and that took the Flyers to Game 7 and beat them decisively in that Game 7. These Flyers, what do they have to do to pull another rabbit out of the hat?
I think that, listen to me. Tampa knew that these guys were tired and came out and wanted to jump
smacked
all over
them. Right in the
yeah,
mouth.
Yeah, and they wanted to do that, yep. and they did. They have the skill. Congratulations. You get the skill, the talent to do that, okay? The challenge for the Islanders is going to be Tampa's speed.
Yeah.
They got to slow them down. I think their system is designed to do that.
How do you do that?
Hold
do
on.
You start getting...
I think their system, you got to trust in their system. We've seen their system all season. We've seen it in this playoffs, and it works. I think yesterday they were tired, so... Islanders hockey is getting over the puck, winning puck battles, puck retrieval, being tough to defend, getting under the other team's skin. You need energy to play that way. And they were low on energy. So I think that if they get, we haven't seen it yet. It's tough to make a pick when you see a team playing that way. I think that this could go either way this series. I think if the Islanders get their legs around them and they can slow down that giant Swede on the back end. They got to slow him down because he's playing half the game right now. He's controlling most of the game. They got to find a way to neutralize him a little bit. But I think that once they can establish their forecheck, make Tampa defend a little bit more. Not that they can't defend. Tampa has grown so much in a year. They've grown so much as a team with the acquisitions that they've made. But I still think that when you make teams defend, you got to wear them down a little bit. And this is a team that's rested. If you're going to let them, if they're going to go into their zone and break out right away, and you're going to let their D, Bogosian, McDonough, and Hedman break pucks out, and they're not looking at the glass, you need to make those guys turn and skate all series long, and you got to break them down. They're skilled, so you know that when they, you can't turn the puck over because they're great in transition. Shattenkirk, another guy, great in transition. Tampa's got veteran experience on their back end, and all of those defensemen are top four defensemen. They're all skilled. They've all been in the league for a while. They all have the patience. They all have the composure. Bogosian, McDonough blocking shots. Those guys can skate. They're physical. They have experience. It's going to be very, very, very tough for the Islanders. They got to stay out of the box, though. Oh, my God. They have to stay out of the box. If they stay out of the box, they give themselves a chance. But I, there's no question right now. The better team right now is the Tampa Bay Lightning. There's no question.
Do we have any sort of goalie issues for New York at the moment? Look, Thomas Greiss gets pulled out after allowing 3 goals in the first period. They put in Varlamov. He doesn't do much better. He allows 5 more goals.
Listen
right?
to me. We can talk about the goaltending all we want. We knew that the Islanders were tired. We knew that Tampa was rested. But, Mo, it got silly out there yesterday.
Yeah.
There were some drop passes, crisscrossing, pancake flopping, picking corners, fake stutter steps. There was a lot of silliness going on. So everybody's got to be tuned into next game because the Islanders got to answer the bell. Regardless, the game one's over, put it in the trash, but I'm telling you this right now, it could get real silly out there if they don't clog up that ice and slow this team down.
So let's make the call. Who do you got? You've been going with the Cinderella story all playoffs. Are you going to switch it up because they play one tired game in game one and get slapped around? Or are you going to stick to your guns?
Well, I'm going to say this. I don't think that this series is going to be a sweep. I don't think it's going to even be five games. I think it's going to go six games at least. I got to say, I just think that if Tampa being rested, New York's going to have to play their greatest games of the season to slow them down. And I just look at Tampa's D. That's where it's going to be tough. Tampa's D and is Long Island, New York Islanders, do they have goaltending? Is their goaltending solidified? Because I can tell you this. This is just me. If I'm in net with the way these guys are zipping pucks around and they're getting pucks in from the point, I can tell you this. I ain't stopping any of it. Not even close. So their goaltending's got to be in check. And we don't know who's getting the start.
So who do you got?
A safe bet right now for me is to go with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I'm going to tell you this why
going
I'm going
Tampa.
With the, I'm going to tell you why I'm going with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Number one, I didn't show enough faith in the Tampa Bay Lightning at the beginning of the playoffs because I suspected them to be the same team. They are not the same team. They are a different team, and they are moving. Look out. Here they come. Hedman and the boys are moving.
And quickly to wrap it all up, let's just touch base on your Raptors really quick.
Oh.
They won two more games here. We got a series, 3-2 now.
I said it in six.
Well, it's not going to happen in six. It's going to happen
I said
in
they'd
seven.
Win in six.
Tomorrow, 3:30 p.m.
They're winning the next game. It's going to go seven now. I just don't know if they're going to have enough in the tank.
Yeah.
I can tell you this.
These Celtics are young.
I can tell you this. I'll tell you this right now. If the Raptors, if Serge Ibaka can shoot from three point as well as he's done so far, and the other guys, their shooting percentage goes up because I don't think they have the energy to punish them down low as much. I think Siakam's playing well right now. He's getting his game going. But if they can shoot well from beyond the arc, I think they got a chance to win this game in seven. But if they go cold from beyond the arc, they're done.
But
I'm calling it. I'm
not
still
as confident as
no,
you
no,
were.
No. Whoa. I just gave you the facts of what I think the keys of the game. They have to shoot well from beyond the arc. If they can get Serge Ibaka, remember, in game, I think it was game three. Was it game three or four?
Game three is when they had the last minute shot to
game
win
four.
The game.
Sorry, game four. Game four, he had a great start to the game. They got him involved. Whenever they get him involved early, it spreads the court a little bit. It opens things up. Their ball movement's great. They're getting open looks. They got to play with that energy, and they will play with that energy in game six, but they have to shoot well from beyond the arc. When they do that, they're a very, very tough team to defend. They play different. When they're struggling from beyond the arc, they're a different team. So, listen, you got to give Boston credit for coming back the way that they did. I think that it's going to come down to energy at the end of the day. These teams are pretty evenly matched. It's going to come down to energy, and Toronto's got to dig deep.
You know what Toronto's missing right now? They're missing Jurassic Park. They're missing the fans out there going nuts. That's what they're missing right now. And you have a young team like Boston. So it's like playing in a gym. You don't have the pressure of the Boston Garden anymore. It's gone.
Listen
to
me.
It's tough.
They picked up a pretty good guy who's running that team right now.
Yeah.
Listen to me.
Kemba.
Listen to me.
Not bad.
Kemba's.
not a bad move. Getting rid of Kyrie and bringing in
Kyrie
2.0.
Kyrie's still Kyrie. But what I'm saying is Kemba's been Kemba.
Yeah.
And he's been good.
True.
So.
True.
You know, and I think that Tatum, he's still looking to be the guy to kind of take over and dominate. I think he's looking at these next two games. Yeah. They're looking to finish it off, clearly.
They don't even have Gordon Hayward, which is crazy.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see.
Raptors in seven. I said six, but damn it. We got a new assistant coach in Jersey. Yeah, just announced.
You want to talk about it?
Sure. Breaking I played against news. Mark Recchi. I can tell you this, that I know his leadership and I know playing against him. I know the type of player that he was. Obviously, you don't have to look very far. You look at his accolades, his resume, it speaks for itself. But I think it's a great acquisition for the team. I think having that experience with a young team, I think we're one or two youngest teams in the league. We got a very young team. So having him there is definitely going to help with the experience of the game. I think that's what we need. You know, having a coach like Lindy and him will definitely be a great acquisition to our team. I like it.
Like it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You see a lot of young coaches that are former players that just weren't playing too long ago getting hired in different leagues. How is that? How does that get accepted amongst players that might be older players that have played against some of these guys?
Personally, I like it. I like it because I'm a fan of old school hockey. Yeah. I'm a fan of the older NHL when I came in. I'm also a fan of the newer NHL, but I have an appreciation for the older NHL. And when I came in and the guys that I played with and played against when I came into the league. So I like that influence because you need a little bit of that still. You know, it's a new breed of players. It's a new league now. It's young, it's different, but I still think that when it comes down to winning and winning consistently, you need those guys that have played during that time that understand. We talked about it with Aves, right? With the Islanders and why we loved the way the Islanders play, because that reminds us of the older NHL when we came in. You know, you're four lines, full lines, you play everybody, you got 60, you roll them. You know, that's the type of NHL that I like. I think that now we see it a little bit different in certain cities with teams being top heavy and having, it's a different style. So having Mark Recchi come in, who's experienced, who's won cups, who's played on all different types of teams, for a guy like Jack Hughes, having a guy like that, you know, be on the bench that can, who's been in the league, who's played with Crosby and who's seen all these types of players, having that influence, understanding how to help guys and even help a guy like me. He's played with a lot of great players. I'm looking forward to having conversations with him throughout the season. And, you know, I'm always very, very excited to learn from guys who have won and who have had long careers in the NHL. You never know what you can learn. You never know what you can add to your game that'll help. So I'm excited about it. Thanks for joining me today, folks. Be sure to check back next week for another episode of the Ugly Duck Podcast. It's going to be special because Lindsey Vonn will be joining me in studio, and we talked about everything. Everything. It got real. You don't want to miss it. And as always, make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube. Leave your reviews on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you can listen or stream the show. This is the Subinator. Subinator out.